I'm Gus Malzahn, head coach of the Auburn Tigers, and you're listening to Sports Call on Tiger 93.9.
Welcome back into Sports Call here on Tiger 93.9 FM and streaming online at sportscallauburn.com. JJ Jackson, Christian Page, and Tom Peavy inside our studios here today. We'll go to our phone lines now. We're very excited to welcome in a new guest to the program. It's Ben Gulliver of the Washington Post. Ben, we appreciate the time. Greetings from Auburn, Alabama. How are you today?
I'm doing great, guys. I was down in Alabama actually back in September, I think, to watch.
Ben, you there with us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we heard you said you were down there in September, and then you cut out for just a second.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw Bama play Texas A&M, maybe, something like that, so it was a great time.
Absolutely. A little bit greater if it would have been over here watching the Auburn game or that sort of thing, but nonetheless, always good to come down and visit the state of Alabama. Ben, it's been a very interesting NBA Finals so far, to say the least, and obviously the news today being that the ruptured Achilles injury there for Kevin Durant. Talk us through the latest that you've heard.
Yeah, you know, Kevin Durant announced it himself as a little bit strange. Steve Kerr was up on the podium, you know, doing his press conference, and while he's doing that, Kevin Durant puts out the Instagram, giving out the news, and Kerr had told the reporters, hey, I don't know what's going on. So a little bit of mixed messages, I think, from Golden State, but he did undergo surgery. It's an injury that's going to likely sideline him for 9 to 12 months. You know, I'd be surprised if he plays next season, the fact that we're right here at the end of this year. It's a devastating blow. I'll be honest, I left game five kind of with a nauseous feeling. It was just horrible to see him rush back, try to be this valiant hero, only to have the thing go, you know, totally sideways on him. He was trying to make a move, drive past a defender. There was no contact. He kind of crumbles to the court, and everybody realized pretty quick it was a very serious injury. For him, the timing just couldn't be worse. You know, he was at a situation where he's been trying to surpass LeBron as the best player in basketball really for the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. He was just about to do it during these playoffs, and unfortunately right at that moment when he goes down with an injury that's going to likely sideline him for at least a year.
Talking with Ben Gulliver here for the Washington Post. You mentioned the injury just a moment ago, Ben, and a storyline that folks are talking about. I'm curious your perspective on this as someone that was inside the arena there in game number 5. A lot of folks are debating whether or not the Raptors fans were cheering when the injury took place, whether or not it was after the steal took place. What did you take in that moment in itself?
Yeah, there's no question they were cheering when it takes place. Now, I'm a little bit lighter on them, and I know some people have been pretty upset about it. Because the basketball was going the other direction, that was the main reason why they were cheering initially. They were so amped up to be hosting the finals this year. Obviously, they're trying to get their first title in franchise history. And the country of Canada hasn't won anything since 1993 when the Blue Jays won the World Series. So there was an awful lot of anticipation going into that moment. But I think they also, you know, frankly, got a little bit bloodthirsty. They see him on the court. They're thinking, hey, this is our opportunity. Obviously, they were very, concerned and frightened that he was coming back into the series. He hits his first two shots, and it's kind of their worst nightmare, right? Like, here comes Kevin Durant to save the day. So there was no question they were cheering when he was down on the court. I thought, though, that players from both teams showed great sportsmanship. You know, you see the Warriors rally around Durant.
Right.
Steph Curry runs into the locker room with him. And then also the Raptors players trying to quiet the crowd down and to get them to cheer for Kevin Durant and give them those KD cheers. So I think in that initial moment, though, their emotions just got the best of them. I think that it was a little bit of a nationalistic pride, too. I mean, they were so excited potentially for Canada to have this big moment. But there's no doubt they were cheering his injury. And you just hate to see that. And thankfully, it didn't last too long. They were able to get back on the right side of history there without too much effort.
I think that's a lot of what we expected was the case there, but it's always interesting to hear the perspective of folks that were actually in there inside the arena itself as opposed to taking in over the television broadcast there. Ben, in the second half there, particularly there late in the fourth quarter, Kawhi Leonard goes on a crazy run, 10 straight points for himself, and then Nick Nurse called a very questionable timeout, in my opinion. Where do you stand on that timeout called by the Raptors head coach?
Well, first of all, Kawhi's going off on that run. Didn't you think the series was over?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely
really what it felt like. It's like, here he goes, putting it away. You know, just go ahead and get that Finals MVP trophy ready for him. Find Bill Russell, bring him out, have him do the presentation. The timeout, I kind of understood it from Nick Nurse's perspective, but I definitely understand why he's getting criticized, because it backfired, there's no question. But to me, Kawhi in that game looked tired or not quite right, or there was something going on. I mean, he didn't have his legs on his jumpers. He wasn't in rhythm until that that real push. And, you know, you look at the turnover problems that he had all game long. They were just not very in sync as an offense. And so I think Nick Nurse is probably thinking, I need to give my guys as much of breathers as possible going into this end game, because you know Golden State's just going to be so frantic with their season on the line, trying to do whatever they can to get back in that game. So I think, you know, unfortunately, he was kind of weighing, do we keep the crowd in it? Do we keep this momentum going? Versus, you know, do I get my guys a breather that they clearly need? And unfortunately, like I said, it backfired on him. To me, though, I thought they should have done a much better job on that last possession, because that was a mess. You know, anytime your season's on the line and the only shot you can get is the guy throwing a three-pointer off the back of the backboard, that means something went seriously wrong. And so I put that one on the coaching staff, too. I think they needed to do a better job there of having a plan and also encouraging Kawhi Leonard, hey, man, you've been living on the free throw line all series long. Go to the basket. You're only down one. Try to get yourself fouled. Try to get a layup or a mid-range jumper. Even if they send the double team, just attack downhill and go for it. I just didn't think they had the best plan on that possession. And to me, if we're going to criticize Toronto's coaching staff, I would be focusing more on that last play rather than on that timeout.
Ben, I'm going to kind of take it on a different side and go and kind of shine a positive light on Nick Nurse, because obviously Toronto's been in not a similar situation in the finals, but they've been that high seed in the regular season and known as just that team in the postseason to kind of flop. And of course, you know, with the addition of Kawhi Leonard, that definitely takes you to that next height. But what has Nick Nurse done differently, maybe more as a decision maker and just a coach overall, that Dwayne Casey did not, that finds Toronto in this situation to take home the trophy?
Well, for sure, he's been very impressive. Anytime you have a rookie NBA head coach stepping into that kind of pressure, you have to have the right personality. I mean, he's a straight shooter. He's kind of seen it all. You know, it's one of those things where, like, his basketball journey has been so crazy, from, like, the Midwest, you know, minor leagues to England, everything else. It's sort of like he's not really overwhelmed by the moment of the finals, because he's just been going for so long in so many different gyms that it all just kind of runs together, if that makes sense. And I think that level of poise that he has trickled down, but I'll be honest, I'm giving all the credit for their personality adjustment that you're describing, where they used to choke and now they've got the poise in some of these moments. I give all that credit to Kawhi Leonard, because I think that this was a team that would get inside of its own head, that whose shooting percentages would always dive in the postseason, who would make, you know, really questionable mistakes and turnovers. And then they would also just get intimidated, frankly, by a guy like LeBron James. All that stuff's gone out the window this year because of Kawhi Leonard. He gives them the feeling that they're always going to have the best player on the court in any game that they're in. He gives them a huge matchup advantage to take out the other team's best player, you know, whether it's a Giannis for Milwaukee or Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. I mean, he's been key in those kinds of matchups. And so you just look up and down in terms of, you know, his different benefits for their team, and I think it all goes back to him. And I think that, you know, not to take anything away from Nick Nurse, but if they still had Dwayne Casey as their coach, I honestly think they'd be in the same position they're in right now, because Kawhi's been that special for them during this postseason.
We're talking with Ben Gulliver of the Washington Post here on Sports Call, discussing some NBA Finals. Ben, listen, this series, it's 3-2. But the Raptors have just really dominated this whole series, even in the games that they've lost. I mean, you really feel like that the Raptors had it. This last win that the Warriors had, do you feel like that maybe they have taken back some momentum, or is this still the Raptors series to lose?
Yeah, I mean, they pulled that win out of there, you know what, right?
Yeah.
That's really what it came down to. Those 3 3-pointers late, you're like, wait a minute, what's happening here?
And Cousins tried to give them the game.
Yeah. No doubt, and the over and the back call. I mean, there are so many different things in that game that was just wild. That's why I think if you're Toronto, you're feeling really good. Because if you run down all the major factors from Game 5, right, Steph was red hot, Klay was red hot, Kawhi was pretty cold. Cousins actually gave Golden State some pretty good minutes early in that game, which he hadn't done the previous game. Toronto's shooters were terrible, and then Pascal Siakam was basically invisible. I mean, if any one of those factors goes the other way, Toronto wins that game, right? So I think that's what your message is if you're the Raptors. You're saying, look, we're the better team. We're the steadier team. We've dominated for large stretches of the season, and we beat Golden State in Golden State at Oracle Arena twice. So I think that's really where their confidence is going to come from. But I think it's going to be a different environment in Oakland because it's the last game for that building after 47 seasons. The fans are going to know that. And the Warriors are really trying to rally around Kevin Durant's injury. They're trying to use that as something to kind of get the crowd fired up and to almost, like, dedicate the rest of the series to Kevin. So there's no question there's going to be a lot of emotions in that building, and Toronto's going to have to overcome that. But I'll tell you this, I expect them to do it. I think they're going to be able to end this series tomorrow night. I think Kawhi's going to play better than he showed in Game 5. I think they're going to shoot a little bit better, and I think that's going to be enough to get it done.
Game 6 of the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow night, and what will be the last game inside Oracle Arena? Ben, you've seen a number of games in that building itself. First and foremost, what makes it so special? And if you had to predict, what's the scene going to be like there tomorrow night inside that building?
Well, I'll tell you, it's not as special as it used to be. I mean, you talk to all the fans who were there when the Warriors were terrible, and that's really when the crowd was crazy, right? There's a lot of Silicon Valley money. You know, ticket prices have been, you know, pricing out a lot of real fans, but it's still a very loud building. They love basketball here. I mean, just like you guys love football down there, sometimes you have these certain pockets in the country that are kind of like the mecca for a sport.
Right.
And that's what the deal has been here for, you know, the Bay Area and for basketball, especially during Golden State's rise. And they've had so many special postseason memories that I think helps build that story too. These last 5 years have just been incredible. I mean, the huge comeback, Steph Curry going nuts earlier in the series for 47 points. And that's a game I'll never forget. You go right down the list of, you know, different, you know, just standout memories for each one of these different players. The fact that it's definitely going to be the last one, right? There's no question. Like in Game 4, it might have been the last one. You know, they didn't know. I think that might have held the crowd back a little bit. But in terms of, you know, ending that era, that's one aspect. But this KD thing is no joke either, because he's a guy where he pretty much sacrificed, you know, money, his career, a lot of different things, you know, to try to get back into the series and to give Golden State a boost in Game 5. And he did that. And I think that the Warriors themselves feel a little bit guilty about that. You know, you saw Bob Myers crying, tearful, their general manager on the podium. You can see it on Steve Kerr's face. He feels terrible about how, you know, Durant's going to likely miss all of next season because of that decision. And I think that, you know, you can channel that guilt in a positive way, right? Your fan base can, you know, have signs and say, hey, do it for Kevin. Your players have already come out and said, hey, we want to win this for Kevin. Klay Thompson said that immediately after Game 5. Draymond Green and Steph Curry have also said similar things, too. That's going to be a powerful force. And look, they need all the help they can get, right? Because Andre Iguodala is banged up. Cousins is banged up. Kevon Looney, their center, is banged up. I mean, all these guys have been dealing with, you know, various injuries along the way during this playoff. So they need all the emotional boost that they can get. And I do think that Kevin Durant provides that.
Ben Gulliver, our guest here for the Washington Post. As we said, the finals back in action tomorrow night, Game 6 from Oracle Arena. Ben, before we let you get out of here, one non-finals related question. 8 days away from the NBA draft in itself. Over these next 8 days, will Anthony Davis be traded away from the New Orleans Pelicans?
Yeah, I think it's about to happen. You know, whether it's draft day or right before the draft, I think that, you know, this thing has kind of run its course. The one thing we know about their new general manager, David Griffin, he's a very smart guy and he's pragmatic, right? And I think when they won that number one pick, you know, the right to get Zion Williamson, I think a lot of people said, oh, well, you know, now we can see, you know, how Zion Williamson can try to attract and keep Anthony Davis in New Orleans. And to me, that was kind of a backwards way of looking at it. I think the real question for the Pelicans is, what can Anthony Davis do for Zion Williamson? Because if you trade him and you get, you know, three or four good young players, young draft picks, maybe you can even get that number three pick from the Knicks and use that to draft RJ Barrett. You can really set up Zion as the face of a fun, young team that can grow together.
Sure.
And kind of go into the future, right? It could almost be like those young Thunder when you had Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden, right? I mean, that team was incredible to watch, and it was a really good incubator for young talent. So if I'm the Pelicans, you have all the reason in the world to try to do it. Obviously, there's teams like the Lakers, Knicks, and Celtics that are just desperate to get a player as good as Anthony Davis in the middle of his prime. So I think that this whole saga has almost run its course, and we're going to have a resolution here shortly.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Ben Gulliver, his latest column for the Washington Post, how Kevin Durant's Achilles injury affects his future and the NBA landscape. Ben, listen, we really do appreciate the time here in Auburn. Let's do this again sometime. Thank you.
All right, guys. War Eagle, right?
Hey, that's right. That's right.